Yeah, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. Today we are going to be speaking about the doing gifts, action gifts, gifts of power and of demonstration. And the first one...
What was it
again? 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
Chapter 12.
Chapter 12.
Yeah, chapter 12. And verse 9. And we're going to be looking, first of all, at faith, the gift of faith. Corinthians 12, chapter 12, and verse 9. And this is the list, this is part of the listing of the gifts, the nine gifts that are listed by the apostle. And verse 9 says, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. So all the gifts are given by the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look, as I say, initially now at faith, wonder working faith. The Living Bible says special faith. The Amplified just calls it a wonder working faith. And if we look at Ephesians, which is just the next book along, basically, Ephesians 2 books on, chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. And it says there, for by grace you have been saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God.
Amen.
So, for each and every one of us, we came to Christ through faith.
Yeah.
That was a gift given to us.
Amen.
By God. You see, there are a number of different faiths. Every one of you came in here today, and by faith, natural faith, you sat on that chair. You didn't check to see whether it would hold your weight, did you?
No.
You didn't check to see if it was broken in any way. You just sat on it by faith, didn't you?
Yeah,
it is. Yeah. And when we come into a room and we want the lights on, we just flick the light switch and we expect this natural faith, it says it'll happen, the lights come on. We are shocked when the lights don't come on, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
So... that's natural faith, but there is supernatural faith.
Amen.
Now, supernatural faith is what brought you and I to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's what brought you into salvation, this supernatural faith. It's not a natural faith. It's not something that you can think through and work through. It is a supernatural walk of faith that God brings you into. And so it says here that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. So it's not something that's in us, it's not something that we've got naturally, but it's what God puts into us that brings us to that point of realizing who God really is, and that he actually loves us, and that he actually cares for us. And so this is the beginning of a new level of faith that God wants you to begin to walk in, right? This faith of absolutely trusting him, knowing him, but it's a supernatural faith. It's something that man cannot put a handle on. He can't get his head round it in one sense. And so I just want to have a look now at Romans chapter 10. I think what I will do is I'll make a list up of the scriptures and print them off for you. So you can have a look and you can re-listen as well to the recording.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Give you time to find it.
Chapter 10.
Yep. It's great to hear the pages rustling. What I love to hear. Not verse 10, chapter 10. So you need to go on.
Sorry.
No, nothing to be sorry about.
Right, you've got to take
a few. No, it's great to hear the pages rustling. That's what I like to hear. Better than money. Chapter 10 and verse 17. And it says there, in my translation, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or God in some translations. And so our faith, what he's really saying is our faith grows by spending time in the word of God, by listening to the word of God, by reading the word of God. And, you know, I often say, read it out aloud, because you're hearing it, and it does something in you when you read it out aloud. It begins to, you hear it in a new dimension. So I encourage people to read the word of God out aloud. You might be, well, I'm on my own, it don't matter. No, it you're not on your own, you're with you, and Jesus is with you, and the Holy Spirit is with you, and when they hear the word of God, they act upon the word of God. And remember this, that each and every one of us is surrounded by angels, ministering spirits, the Bible says, who are sent to minister to the heirs of salvation. Now, you know what an heir is, don't you? That's us. You know, the will has been written through Christ Jesus that we have rights in heaven, and we have rights to the fact that the angels are at our disposal.
Oh.
And so you have angels available to you.
Oh,
so these are things. So when you begin to read the word, the angels prick their ears up, for want of a better word. They are attentive, because the word of God is powerful. It's the word of, even the word of God created them.
Yeah. Oh,
like the word of God created you. Wow. Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you see, the Bible says that God knew you before the foundations of the world. You've heard me say that before.
Yeah.
And so God knew you before. God created you. God was waiting for you to arrive at this time. Where are we? We're on the 17th of May, 2022. Wow. God knew where you would be. God had God has a plan for you in 2022.
Oh, God knows then that I was
going to
come to church.
Oh, he knows everything. You know, he knows the end from the beginning. You know, the word talks about Jesus being the Alpha and the Omega. That is the Greek alphabet. Well, what that really means is the Alpha is the first, the Omega is the last. So from the very beginning to the very last thing, they know. Mind-blowing, really, when you think about it. And this is where this then should begin to build your faith, to cause your faith to begin to rise. And the gift of faith that God wants to give you. You see, you've got a faith that's been given to you that has brought you to salvation. Now, there is another gift of faith that then causes you to pray for great things to happen, to believe for great things. So it's a special gift of faith for certain things. See, Grace and I had to have faith for 25 years for this building to come to pass. I could have given up. A few times, a few opportunities to say, oh, forget it, it's not going to happen, blow it, you know. But we reminded God of his promise to us through faith. And, you know, that gift of faith hanging on there, believing God was going to fulfill his promises, because God is not a man that he should lie. And so it's important. So there is a saving faith that comes, that God gives to us, from that brings us into salvation, that brings us into relationship. That's what it does. It brings us into that relationship. At one, before we came to Christ, we were sinners, we were kept to, we were at a distance, we couldn't communicate with God, because darkness cannot communicate with light, sin cannot communicate with absolute purity, God, there's no chance. But when we come to Christ in that way of saying, forgive me, and we accept Christ into our lives, then that faith has been planted in us. And it's that faith to live in the Word of God, to live and to stand on the promises of God, to believe God. And then there's, as I say, then there's the gift of faith that takes us further on, and we'll talk about it, you know, a little bit more now. So, for by grace, you see, that's when it says, for by grace you were saved. What that means is, by God's unmerited favour. In other words, you and I did not deserve it. We've not done anything to deserve our salvation, the faith of salvation. But God says, I'm going to give it you because of what Jesus has done for you. Mm-hmm. And so we receive that undeserving gift of faith and salvation. So, for by grace you've been saved. God's unmerited favour. We're not deserving. Giving to me, you know, everything that God has, and flowing through us, God himself wants to flow through you. And what we have to realize is that everything that we do as we study these gifts, all that happens is this is the Holy Spirit working through us. When for instance, let's go to Sunday, back to Sunday night, when, for instance, we prayed with you, and the Lord just came over you and began to minister to you. That's not Andrew, that's not Daniel, that's not Steve or David or anybody else that was praying. That was God the Holy Spirit. But that was God the Holy Spirit working through us. You see. We don't do it of ourselves.
No.
Right. The great gracious thing is that God fills us with his Holy Spirit, and in that filling we are containers that releases the presence of God. So now when we're filled with God, we're the carriers of the presence of God.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. So we're ready, we're a can ready to, you know, take the ring out and pop, there we are, and we can be poured out into a person's life. And like on Sunday, you know, the Lord was pouring out through us in such a wonderful way.
Yeah, it was a bad day for me on Sunday.
Yeah, well, it turned out to be a good day, didn't it?
I felt really terrible. But the devil really, all the time I was poorly. I couldn't pick the Bible up. I just didn't want to be here. I kept saying to the Lord, hurry up and take me. And things really got really bad.
Yeah, but he's got things for you to do.
Yeah.
You know, but you see, the devil wants to stop you. And so he'll lie to you, and you think, what's going on, you see? And the Bible says he can come as an angel of light.
Mm.
Wow. Mm. He has an appearance.
Unbelievable, isn't
it? Yeah. But he's not a true angel of light.
He's bringing fear.
Because he doesn't bring the word of God. He brings the lies.
Yeah.
And he brings doubt and he brings fear.
Because do you know what? It kept saying to me all the time, and it didn't matter how much I tried to shift it from the brain, it just wouldn't go. It kept saying to me, there is no such person. There is no such person. There is no such person.
Well, let me tell you this. What you should have said to him is, well, I'll tell you what. That person that I worship is going to put you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
So shut up, because that's where you're going. You might not think so, but that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm. It's nothing stronger than the Bible.
No. So do you know what, Louise?
I didn't even have any of this old Bible. I couldn't even pick one up.
Well, this is...
Picking a couple, well, like picking a ton of head up.
This is where...
Draining me all the time.
This is where you need to download a Bible onto your phone. And when you're really feeling low, feeling tough, you find your Bible on the phone, you press the button and you press play. As well as pray. Pray and play. And you let that word of God, you get into the Psalms somewhere and just let it speak to you. Just let it flow. Sometimes you feel that, you're feeling that situation, and just let that word flow. And you see, Jesus even said to his disciples, come aside, let us rest a while. Mm. So there is a time when we need to set ourselves aside.
Mm-hmm.
And the devil came to tempt Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. So we're not on our own. Mm-hmm. It's not. Don't expect it. Well, why is it happening to me?
When I'm told, what's happening to me? Because actually, I thought I was going crazy. I was terrible, weren't I? But then all that week, I was falling, and it was there all the time, and I thought, my time's up here.
I honestly thought
I was going to die. I was that poorly.
The Lord hasn't saved you.
I thought my time has come, do you know what I mean?
The Lord hasn't saved you to cause you to die. He's caused you to live.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so the devil knows that you're going to get an abundance.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't want you to have your abundance.
Because
he's robbed you all these years. And he don't want you to get what's rightly yours. Because he's got to pay up.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Let's move on. Let's move on to Romans chapter 12. And verse 3. For it says, for through the grace given to me, thank God for the grace that's given to us, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so he has sound judgment, as God has allotted to each the measure of faith.
Now, excuse me, what is solid? I can't pray it.
Soberly.
Yeah, what does that mean? I was just
going to
ask that.
Orderly,
say.
Right.
Pardon?
Yeah, to be orderly, to be right, rest, just resting and. Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. See, my translation says that. Not to think more highly of yourself.
Oh,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Because everything that we do is through God, the Holy Spirit, working through us.
Mm.
Of ourselves, we are nothing.
That's right.
Without God, we're absolutely nothing. But with God, we're more than conquerors. And we're standing on the promises of God. And so, mine says, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to have sound judgment. In other words, let your yes be yes, your no be no, and let the word of God be the monitor, the weighing scale, the measure of what's happening. The word of God, not the circumstances that are going on around us, but the word of God. Because we can be... Problem is, we are so vision orientated rather than word orientated, and that's the wrong way round. That we become so vision orientated that when we see things happening, that attacks us, that causes us to react. And what we should be doing is saying, what does the word say? What is God saying about this? And so then we don't react by vision, but we react by the word that's in us. And that's why I say to you, even if you're not feeling well, play it. Because it goes in. It goes in. You don't necessarily have to study, but you have to read it. You have to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you hear it, it goes in. And then suddenly one day when you need it, it says, and we'll probably get to that, the Holy Spirit, I'm jumping ahead, says, he will remind you of what you've read, of what you've heard.
Oh, right.
Right? And it's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, he can't remind you if you haven't put it in.
Thank you. He can't remind you if you haven't put it in.
All right.
So this is why we encourage you to always get your Bible, get into your Bible. Even if you're only just reading a few verses on a morning or on an evening, and that's why, you know, I put a couple of verses on this morning on Messenger. It was just something to spike you and inspire people to just maybe even pick up and look at that little bit of scripture. So the measure of faith. And we have to let the Holy Spirit has to begin to stir up the gift of faith that rises up within us. This is when the Holy Spirit, when God the Holy Spirit gives us a special faith, he stirs it up. Not all the gifts operate all at the same time.
No. You mean, the more we have faith in the Bible, the devil tries to stop us?
Well, he has an attempt, but the more we know of the Bible, the stronger we are to withstand the wiles of the devil, as it's called, or his attacks. Mm. And so the more we just stand and quote the word of God and said, Satan, you know, I have a destiny. I know I shall fulfill. You have a destiny. You're going to hell.
Yeah.
Remind him of his destiny. And remind him that God's word says that I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus.
That's what Grace told me on Sunday.
Yeah, right, okay. And I don't know what conversation you had. I know she said I saw you, but I didn't ask, you know. I got enough buzzing on in my head without having to find out everything else that's going on. I am not the oracle of all things.
No.
And not, don't intend to be. And we have to believe the word of God in such a way and that God, you see, as we believe his word, God honours his word to us. So as we declare the word of God, as we proclaim the word of God, by faith, God honours it.
Yeah.
You see, when Moses, had to cross the Red Sea, God was at work and honours faith. And so these are just simple examples. When Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves by faith, they stop because the power of God. He had faith in all that God was able to do, you see. And so God wants to have you and I with a special gift of faith. Wow.
Nice.
It is nice. You see, you don't get this teaching very much in churches to inspire people that the gifts of the Spirit are there for each and every one of us. They're not just for the leadership. You know, they're not just for the chosen few.
No.
Because all are chosen.
Yeah.
All are chosen, you see.
Yeah.
And so that means if we're all chosen, then guess what? All the gifts are chosen for us. Now, some of us operate in certain areas stronger than others, which is fine. But I've always, for many years, believed that all the gifts of the Spirit are available to all of us. Because we all get into different circumstances, different situations, and if you've got just the gift of tongues, and you haven't got the gift of healing in operation, and somebody says, "Will you pray for me?" Mm. Well, it's a bit of a no-no, isn't it? So this is why I say, God, you've got it. It's not going to happen, is it? So you see, what happens is that when we come to a circumstance, situation, and we need the gift of healing, Lord, I need the gift of healing for, we need to pray for whoever. And the Lord says, okay, it's available. Take it. But we take it by faith as well. Because it's not what, you know, it's not what I am.
No.
It's what he is in me.
Yeah. Like if you met somebody and you worked by yourself and you say, oh, pray for me. That if they're going to pray for you, they've got to pray for
you. Yeah, yeah. You see, and this is something else. Don't just get anybody to pray for you. Okay.
That's what I mean.
No, you don't know what you're inviting. Yeah. You don't know what you're inviting in. Some people, although they say, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
I'm upset at all, Shadow. They might have diddly squat level of faith.
What I think one of the things to remember is that the gifts of the Spirit are not resident in you.
No.
So you've got to move in the let the Holy Spirit work in you. And if He uses you, as it says, don't think too hard of you, because some people go around and they say healing meetings.
Yeah.
You as much say I'm a healer. No way. No. The Holy Spirit. Louis has often said to me, "Oh, it's you." I said, "No, it's not me.
Yeah.
All I am is the vessel. All you are is a vessel. But if you let the Holy Spirit work in you, what Pastor Andrew is saying, that will happen."
You see,
it's His work in you.
All right.
You see, for instance, with me, one of my stronger leanings, shall we say, is I very much believe in healing. You know, the power of healing, and that's one of my strong points in the giftings that I have lent towards, and I believe that God has imparted that as a sort of a semi-permanent gift, but it only works, as I feel, when I'm connected to the throne room.
You mean like when I first come, I have a mess and I met David and he led me? He was a mess, like you
said. Yeah. So, and, you know, even in the prophetic, although I move in the prophetic, I find it very difficult to move in the prophetic within our own assembly. Because then I have to do a double check on myself. I have to say, have I heard this? Have I had a conversation that I know this? So I'm very guarded, right? Because what I don't want to do is bring the gifts into disrespect.
No.
I don't want to degrade them in any way. I want them to be absolutely true, and it wants to be God and not Andrew or David or Steve or anybody or Grace. It needs to be God. And this is why, you know, we say in here in the church that if you have a word from the Lord, you feel, then you bring it to the leadership, that they might attest the word, because again, we want to ensure that you are hearing God. We are your support, and the Bible teaches that about testing the word, that let those that move in the prophetic test that prophetic word, and we have to each time be available and say, look, I'm vulnerable and I'm available. Let's test this. Is this God or is it not? Because we don't want man's ways. And we've had people come in and bring words to people. And I caught somebody some time back giving a word to somebody. And I'm like, right. And this person was just passing through. And I knew they weren't coming again. And so when they'd finished giving that word, I went straight to the person and gave it. I said, you disregard that. You disregard that word. That is nothing, and it's not from God. Because I heard it all. And so, because when somebody comes in and does it behind the back of the leadership, it's one of the little foxes that come to spoil the vine, is what Scripture says. It comes to damage, comes to distract, and comes, actually, it seeks to take away, not to add. You see, to a person's life. Although it appears as if it's an adding, it's actually taking away. And this is where, you know, because the leadership have the care of the flock. They have the responsibility to care for you. Yeah.
You mean like you are the shepherd and we're the sheep.
Yeah. And so the leadership has that responsibility to care for you. And so this is important. So we have saving faith. Praise God that we're saved through faith, as we said earlier. We're the firstborn that have been brought to Christ. Praise God. And then, as we've said, we've got this gift of faith that God has allotted to each the measure of faith. That faith, it's a measure. And it's the same measure that I've got that you've got. Okay? What I'm doing, you can do. But It's about preparing yourself
to
move in those realms. You see, and
like reading a bit each day.
Yeah, just step by step, just letting God move into your life, letting God just begin to prepare you. You know, Elijah and Elisha. And what was he? He was ploughing, weren't he?
He was ploughing, yeah.
Yeah, he was a farmer. You know, behind some ox. And he's pulling his plough along and what have you. And Elijah come along and slapped his mantle on him and says, "That's it, follow me," that sort of thing. And next thing, Elisha kills the oxen, burns all his equipment up and sacrifices to God. And basically what he's doing there, he's saying, "I've finished with my old life."
Mm-hmm.
That's all done. I've no longer got anything to plough with. Mm-hmm. I've not got oxen to pull anything. So I've given everything up. I'm following this guy, whoever he is.
Yeah.
Right? And he became the man of God when Elijah was taken up.
Oh.
And he did double what Elisha did. Mm-hmm. Elijah did, should I say. And so... But he went in a program of preparation.
Same as us.
This is, yeah, but so often people don't want to prepare. They just want it, well, we have it all the time, don't we? Instant coffee, instant custard, instant this, you know, stick it in a microwave, 30 seconds and it's done, type of thing. And there's no work in it. Somebody else has gone and done the work, haven't they?
Yeah.
But... you never learn anything. If somebody else, if you get a ready meal and stick it in a microwave, the only thing you've got is that you've got the benefit of being able to eat it, but you will never know how to cook it.
No.
So you don't really know much, do you?
No. I can't cook. No.
So, but you see, if you learn the principles of it, you suddenly become far greater knowledge and of greater abilities. But just anybody can just push a button on a microwave, can't they? And not burn it, hopefully.
Fine.
Yeah, exactly. He's
learning.
And so we need to learn and to move. So all that we're doing is, there was a book written by a guy called Rick Renner called Training for Reigning. Training for Reigning. I don't know if it's if there's one in there somewhere, there might be in the bookshelves. But again, it's about you and I being prepared for our future in God, right? And our future in God is not just whilst we're living on earth.
No.
We have eternity in us. Mm-hmm. We have eternity in us. And the future is not just the now or tomorrow. The future is written in eternity. And you and I are going to be doing things through eternity. When this carcass that we live in fades and shrivels and dies away, there's a new body.
Alright.
Well, Christ came in a different body. We're doing some extra teaching here, but it's okay. Christ came in a new body. Because when he was hung on a cross, and before that, he couldn't just walk through that doorway. But when he died and rose again, he took up that new, incorruptible body.
Mm-hmm.
And when the disciples were locked in a room,
he
walks
in.
Andrew,
when you said about training, when David, he was anointed to be king, but he's no train how to live in a palace, did he, and what to do, so he had to go and be Saul's, pray for Saul while he was spirit, so he could get out to work how he
exactly.
Looked.
Exactly.
Look how he was trained, how he worked. His
part of his training.
Yeah.
Part of his training. That's true, John, yeah? That David, King David. So, in what we're doing and in our lives as we live, we are to be faithful stewards to the church, to the work of the church, to building the church, to building the kingdom of God, because that's what we are building, the kingdom of God. You see, you and I have a measure of faith, and that measure of faith is a supernatural, it's a spiritual gift, and it's a supernatural power, and it's a supernatural ability that the Lord places within you that works through you. And some people, when God gives a gift, if it's a gift and somebody gives it to you, after a month or 6 weeks, they don't come back and say, "Oh, can I have it back? I've changed my mind," do they? And in the same way, when God gives a gift to you, God does not call it back in, because he's believing and trusting you to be honourable and to work and serve him in that gifting. I mean, there are other things that we'll come on to maybe at some other stage, but you know, John, bless her, has the gift of serving, of, there's another word I'm looking for, helps, yeah, the gift of helps, and you know, such, and that goes on from there.
Hospitality,
that's the one I'm looking for. Hospitality, you see. And that's what she, that's one of her major giftings that God has placed within her, and she operates that naturally without any effort, you see. And you'll have people with a prophetic ministry. They will operate in the prophetic in more of a sort of a natural way. That's their, because their faith has grown into that and has expanded in that area of the prophetic. And I mean, as I was saying earlier, like when I visit other churches, I don't have an issue. Number one, I don't know anybody. And if the Lord begins to reveal things, I just let it flow.
But I always
ask the question of people, does that resonate with you? Is that right? Has God saying this? You know, and you've heard me ask you people and say, is God confirming this? Because what you have to remember in the prophetic, God is many times usually confirming to you what he's already told you. Right, so often people want the prophetic to be God telling them what they should do through a man or a woman, when actually the prophetic should be a confirmation of what God has already shared with you in your quiet times, in your times personally with God. Now that's my experience, because so often many people go, I've come to hear this speaker, he operates in the prophetic, and I want to have a word from God from him. Now you see, it's not a word, you need to get your own word from God. I believe this, that you get your own word from God, and then you come to the church leadership and say, "I've been praying and I felt God saying this to me. What do you think?" So what do you, you know, and so we might say, "Well, okay, let's sit down," and maybe two or three of us will get together and say, "Right, okay, talk to us and share with us," and you might have scripture that you felt the Lord speak through and that, and we sit down and listen, and then we say, "Okay, we're going to pray about this, we're going to seek the Lord and for a confirmation, is it God?" And because that is the strength and security of a church that loves its sheep and that wants its sheep to grow into what God wants them to be. It's not about holding people back, but it's about ensuring that people are strong. You see, some people get a word from the Lord, and I did this once. I planted some seeds and I put them in the airing cupboard. It's warm, it's dark, and it's a great place for seeds to mature rather rapidly. Well, I saw them, they'd come through, just pop through, and I thought, watered them a little bit, left them in there. I forgot about them for a couple of 3 days. And when I went in, they were probably about 6 or 7 inches tall, and they were just laid over on the sides, you see. They'd no strength.
No.
They couldn't stand up. And there was no point in planting them out now in soil, because it was too late. They'd gone. They've gone too far. And this is what happens. People get a word from God, not in submission to leadership in any way, and they rush on. They get drawn on by what's been said to them. And then they become so weak and it becomes limp. And then the first wind, down they come, crashing down. Oh, everything that God had said, and it might be right, has been lost.
Yeah. preparation.
There is always preparation. You can read scripture, and no doubt when you read scripture, there's always preparation. Moses was prepared. Joshua went through preparation. As I say, Elisha went through preparation. There's always preparation that is going on. The disciples went through preparation, three years or more, of preparation with Jesus to prepare them to bring in the kingdom of God. And so for each, and you know, Paul prepared people. Timothy spent time with Timothy, preparing him for the future. So Romans chapter 12, and verse 6. I've rushed above myself. And Romans 12, verse 6. He says, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, prophesy according to the portion of your faith." So, you know, God might give you a word of prophecy, and it's like, wow, this is a big one. But God's growing your faith in that. But it's about your faith. Your faith needs to grow. Mm. What can you believe God for? And the first thing you don't do is say, well, I'll believe God, I can jump right to the other side of this room, you know, big things. Mm. You start and look and say, what can I believe God for? And you take those steps. It's about step by step moving forward. You take steps and I can believe God for this. Okay, let's believe God for that. And as you take those steps begin to get bigger, and you begin to get your faith get stronger. I've always likened faith to being like the body, and that each and every one of us has the same number of muscles, but not every one of us can lift the same amount of or run as fast as, etc. But if we train our muscles, we can lift more. And if we train, we can run marathons, etc. But initially we can't. So there is a training program that goes on with us. There's a preparation. And so faith trains on the Word of God. Faith is built up by the Word of God. And suddenly we believe God for greater things. Wow. Never expected that when I was first came to Christ. And suddenly we're doing this. Suddenly you're doing that. But it's been a preparation. Preparation. And that is so important. And the great thing is that we have different gifts. I have different gifts to David. I have different gifts to Stephen, Grace, etc. And so on as we go on. We have different giftings. Because
it won't work for us all to be dead.
No, exactly. You see, God knows you as an individual. And God equipped you. And you see, what happens is that, for instance, some people moving in prophetic, moving in words of knowledge and revelation could be a great challenge to them. But to move in hospitality and giving and other things in different areas, words that, you know, it's what God gives. It's, God looks at a person as an individual.
Yeah.
But you see, I still believe that every gift is available to you.
Yeah.
But you will function, you might function in two or three areas really strongly, where it's like, oh, go see David about that, because, you know, that's where his major gifting is, shall we say. Mm. But let's say it's prophetic, and then somebody says, well, I need somebody to pray for healing for me. And let's say, and I'm not saying this is right, but let's say David says, well, that's not my strong go and see Steve, and you know, but I'll come with you and we'll stand together in faith. Yeah. So it's using that in one sense, that there is that, but at the same time we have to believe God that when that circumstance comes up and there's no alternative, that faith grows and says, I'm going to take this on board. And this is what God wants, because what I want to be able to see is that in the church that we start having people when we've got a prayer line, and the prayer line gets bigger, that we're going to say, right, I need two or three people here, I need two or three people here, two or three people here, and I'm just going to stand there and just be the overseer. And if you know, if it's like, oh, we're just not getting through, there's a bit of a struggle for some reason, I can come in and say, okay, where are we at? You know, what is God doing? What is the Holy Spirit doing? Because it's building people up into faith, into signs, wonders, and miracles. I believe that's got where God wants to take us. And so this is a faith of the demonstration and power of God. Not for salvation, that's totally different. But this faith is for the demonstrations of the power of God. And that is a miraculous thing that we are to be working on and moving through. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, it's not just about your ability, it's about God's ability. It's about the Word. You keep hearing me with this theme, the Word. The Word. Jesus is the Word. So the more you read the Word, the more you impart Jesus into your life. Jesus is the Word. And we focus strongly on the Word. And the Holy Spirit brings light on the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals things about the Word. So it's the Word is key. And the Spirit works together. Nothing works on its own in God. God never works just with one thing only. God has two or three things that function together. I often liken it to the araldite glue. There are two compounds, and they're both sort of semi-liquefied in two separate tubes. And if you just have one on its own, all it is just sticky, and the other one's just sticky, and it don't do anything. But when you mix them in equal portions together, suddenly there is a reaction that starts to work. And they become a super strong bonding agent. And they everything about them changes, you see. And this is where we have to realise that the Word and the Spirit, when they come together, when we come together as the body of Christ, there is some supernatural, chemical, for want of a better word, reaction going on. And that's why we see people healed. That's why we see people saved. That's why we see people delivered from the words of the devil and that and the grip of the devil. That's why we see these things happening, because there is a bonding, there is a release of some supernatural power that works through our lives. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And God allows us to be part of it. And that's a wonderful thing. So, every believer should receive the exact gift and the resources he or she needs to fulfill the role in the body of Christ.
If you don't mind me asking, how many gifts is there?
There's nine. There's nine initially, but there's a subsection that we might look at later. But so every believer receives the exact gift and resources he or she needs to fulfill their role in the body of Christ. You have a role to play. You have a role to fulfill. You have something that God wants you to do. When we look at the operation of faith, and I mentioned this the other week in church, for instance, in Daniel chapter 3 and verses 15 and 17, you don't need to turn, you can just write it down. Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. This is where Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego are taken to the fiery furnace, and when the king looks in, having cast them in, he looks and says, I thought we only threw three people in, but there's four. Who is that third one? It's one like unto the Son of God. And it was Jesus walking in, the presence of God that was in there. Daniel chapter 3 verse 15 to 17. And as I say, if you read through that chapter, it's a real encouraging chapter to read. I'd encourage you to read it. This is what faith, these three young men said, I don't care what you're going to do to us, King. Don't care what you're going to say. We know what God has told us, and we are going to stand on the promises of God. Yes. And God told us we not to bow down to any other idol other than worship Him. So, don't care what you build, and how build you, how big you build it, and what material you build it out of, we're not bowing down. Yeah. And so they stood on that. They trusted God, and God allowed them. Now, sometimes we complain. We say, oh, why is God letting this happen to me? You know, why am I being thrown in fiery furnace, etc.? Just for your bondages to be burnt off.
Right.
Just for something to cause you to be released and realize that, wow, God is with me. God has brought me through this difficulty. God has brought me through this trial. He never left me, but he stood by me and he equipped me and he brought me through in victory.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And you think, so don't start saying, why am I going through this? You're going through it because God's taking you through it.
Yeah.
Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, people often forget, they start living in the valley of the shadow of death. Instead of, the psalmist says, I'm going through it.
Yeah.
I'm not living there. I'm not pitching a tent.
No.
And having a barbecue. I'm just going through it. And we have to, you know, there are circumstances that we go through. And in those going throughs, we come out stronger. And the things that bind us are burnt off. And we release from those things that bind us. And we come out in victory. And these three lads came out. It was like, whoa. These three lads suddenly became top dogs. They were given appointments. They were given the authority in the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar and that, at that stage. So these men trusted God. And in their trusting God, they were rewarded. They were placed in a position of authority. And, you know, it was like, listen to these guys. Because they know somebody. They know somebody with a higher authority than ours. Listen to them. And you know, this is where the church needs to get back to. That the world stops listening to the stupid politicians and the other things and listen to the church. And the church needs to be hearing God's authority. Not just mamby-pambying around and being like the world. The world... the world doesn't come into the church. The church goes into the world.
That's right.
You know, they've reversed it, and this is not what God's talking about. We talk about in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Just write these down, and where Jesus is casting out demons, and the disciples ask Jesus, and it's about this boy who was suffering with epilepsy, and he's been thrown into the fire, and the disciples had prayed for him and nothing had happened. Matthew 17:20. And they're saying, why wouldn't it work for us? And Jesus says, because of the lack of faith. Your faith. And he said, Jesus says, if you have faith the size of the grain of a mustard seed, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, their faith. You see, many people have preached on that subject and said, oh, well, it was the demons that were the problem. No, the demons are already defeated, because earlier on Jesus had said to the disciples, I give you all authority. So the demons were already subject. So why didn't they go? Because the disciples' faith was weak.
Yeah.
They were leaning always on Jesus to do it for them. And we want people to have strong faith that they do the things of God. They hear the voice of God, and we work together in these things and see God moving in power. And so Jesus says to them, because of your faith, you need to let that faith grow and develop. there's also in 1 Kings and chapter 17 and verses 2 to 6. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verses 2 to 6. This talks about the supernatural provision for Elijah when God caused the ravens to come and bring him food. Now, the one bird you do not want to come and bring you your dinner is a raven. The scavengers. They go and look scavenging bins and pick up dead things, and it's like, where's he got that from? You know. And God actually says, I'm going to send the ravens to feed you. And can you imagine him thinking... great, you know, but he picks up another better bird that's cleaner, you know, because they're not known. But they brought him his food. And this again, it's God's, through faith, God's supernatural provision. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 5 to 7, Galatians chapter 3 verses 5 to 7, talks there about the Holy Spirit, Galatians 3 and 5. Does he then who provides you with the Spirit and works of miracles amongst you do it by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? God is asking, how does this happen? It's by faith, by hearing faith. And verse 6, even so Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And so we have to believe God. We have to trust God. Verse 7 says, therefore be sure that it is those who are of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So we have to walk by faith. We have to stand on the promises. We have to believe God's provision by faith. And see God moving in the supernatural. I told you about a lady I knew that actually had to prepare a meal and she didn't have enough food, but she kept cutting the loaf. And there were enough sandwiches and she still had the same left when she finished. And that was in the last
84,
was it?
80, I think it was 82 to 84.
Somewhere in 1982,
84. You mean like when he was begging the fishes?
Yeah, exactly that. You see, the word says in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. He changes not. And God's not changing. God does not change for what's happening in the world. The world has to change back to what God intends. You see, raising the dead. What do we need to raise the dead? We need the gift of faith. Right? We need the working of miracles. And we need healing. All those three need to operate together. Because you could, if you've got faith to raise a dead person, then what killed them, they need to be healed of. Yeah? And the miracle is actually getting them to be raised from the dead. So those three operate together. See, nobody, you don't think like that, do you? We just, but those three are in operation. And this is what God has got operating in us. You know, Jesus moved in all of these giftings. He was filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit.